Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
I read a lot of studies about human behavior because, after all, from a biologist's perspective, humans are just another animal species. A lot of these behaviors are also behaviors that occur in animals. What I like to do when I read these studies is to compare the way ethologists perceive these behaviors versus humans. A lot of times, what human behaviorists consider pathological are part of the normal continuum of behaviors in animals. Naturally, I had to read an article about bullies and victims of bullies versus parental strategies in humans. What was interesting about these studies is that they indicated that the same types of parental strategies that resulted in bullies also resulted in victims of bullies. Not only that, the parental strategies were opposite. Parents who were harsh and bullied their kids, not surprisingly, gave rise to kids who were bullies or victims of bullies. However, parents who were overly permissive also gave rise to these same two populations of kids. And no surprise to anyone who knows anything about dogs, these behaviors really start to kick in when the kids reach adolescence. So now we have kids being labeled bullies or victims of bullies. That got me thinking what these same behavioral scientists would do when presented with a litter. What would happen if they studied triplets or quadruplets? The reason I wondered that is because, yes, parental strategy definitely affects the behavior of offspring. It's capable of turning on or suppressing the expression of certain genes. On the other hand, in species that give birth to multiple young, a social structure does evolve. It's a peacekeeping mechanism. How much energy the youngsters put into maintaining this social structure, how rigid versus how flexible it is a function of parental oversight. The parent is relaxed and calm and confident, the social structure will be fluid. While you may have one animal who sort of emerges as the leader, that doesn't mean that that individual is constantly proving his status for one reason or another. At the other end of the spectrum, you'll have that puppy or kitten who's content to sort of take orders or follow the lead of someone else. Would we think of the leader as a bully? Would we think of that most subordinate kitten or puppy as a victim? That again depends on how much you know about normal animal behavior. When we don't know something, then we interpret it based on what we know. And if, for example, we consider ourselves victims, then we might see any behavior in a puppy or a kitten that seems a little bit too forceful as bullying. If it's someone else's animal, we don't want our puppy to play with that dog. That dog's too rough. That dog's mean. That dog's a bully. In no way am I saying that I advocate letting more timid pups get pounded by more aggressive ones. What I am saying is that we need to be careful that we don't take human labels that tend to be very specific, as well as tend to take what might be quite normal behaviors in certain circumstances and turn them into pathologies. It makes more sense to me to get a good grounding in ethology, to understand social behavior in animals, to understand that if you have a good bitch, no, she does not pick up her puppies and shake them when they misbehave. if she does do it, good breeders eliminate her from their programs. They certainly don't emulate her behavior. Try not to label your animal's behavior. Try not to label somebody else's behavior until you do your homework. Get an ethology text, not a training text. Read about this behavior in wild animals and wild animals of different species. Become an informed consumer of behavioral knowledge.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.